Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Judges, and this is chapter 10, and there are 18 verses in this chapter. And let's ask the Lord to anoint the reading. Father, anoint the reading of this chapter, because we know that the word kills unless the spirit of life is on it. So, Lord, anoint it with your Holy Spirit, the spirit of you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit, which all three are one, lives in us now, the fullness of you. And we want to add more life into our spirits every day so that we are alive every day. Lord, if we shrug the duty, our own duty of reading life into our life, which is you, well, then that's our own fault. We cause ourselves to go into the pit of hell and then to be cast into the lake of fire. Open our spirits, open our mind where the battle is. This is where Satan wars against us, and make the spirit of you in our minds one with the spirit, our spirit, and your spirit in our spirit, so that there is no chance for Satan to come in at any point. Lord, anoint the reading of your word, the commentary, in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Judges chapter 10. Tola becomes Israel's judge. King James Version, verse 1. And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. Verse 2. And he judged Israel 23 years, and died, and was buried in Shamir. Verse 3. And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years.
These judges are never mentioned much at all to most people as they read the Bible, but there's not much said of them in the Bible. People like Samson and other ones, there is a lot said of, but these are what they consider minor judges, but there wasn't much happened during the time that they were judges in Israel. Go ahead.
Verse 4, and he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts. And they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth-Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. Verse 5, and Jair died and was buried in Camon.
And so there was something mentioned about him, that he had 30 sons. I'm sure he had daughters also, so he also had many wives. Then what?
Verse 6, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served not him. Verse 7, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines, and into the hands of the children of Ammon. Verse 8, and that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. 18 years all the children of Israel that were on the other side Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead.
So a lot of people, they can't understand, why is this happening to me? What people should do is examine themselves with the Word of God to see if they're doing everything that the Word of God says to do. These people have forgotten God. God stated, forget me, and he says, I'll tear you to ribbons. And people just don't realize that God is that kind of a God, because there's a lot of false prophets that are nothing more than demons from Satan that are telling you that all God is his love. He'd never tear his people to ribbons. He'll tear his people to ribbons and the people that are not his people to ribbons. Amen?
Amen.
Because they start worshiping some other god, And that's why you see the things that are happening in Indonesia. Those people are Buddhists and Muslims over there, and the gospel has reached them. We and the people in Africa and India, our literature is over there a lot, and we see that there are international television programs with people that are preaching gospel, some partial and some others. But I hear a lot of them saying that Jesus, there's no other way into the kingdom of heaven but through Jesus. And so they're hearing the gospel, but they're not. They're continuing to worship Muhammad and also Buddha. You can turn on the television, on the news, and you'll hear them chanting to Muhammad, just as they do. When I was in Israel, I heard them doing that over in Bethlehem of Judea. I went there. It's not far from Jerusalem, maybe 30 miles. Mm-hmm. And it's right on the cliffs. I never pictured Bethlehem that way. It's actually on the cliffs, and if you jumped off the cliff there, you'd go sailing down there hundreds of feet and be dashed to pieces. You can see homes built down there, and here's a big Catholic and Greek Orthodox church. You have to crawl to get into it because it's just a little opening, or stoop down real low, and there's a parking lot right across from it, parallel with the cliffs. And there's a lot from certain times of the day. It's just filled with Muslims. They're on their hands and knees, and they are chanting over loudspeakers. I mean, it's just really distracting. You hear that all over Israel. Israel has allowed these people in there. And it's no wonder what's the things that are happening to the Jews, because they've allowed this big Muslim temple to be in there. And these people are chanting. You go into a town like Nazareth, which is on top of a mountain, and comes time to worship, they all worship at the same time. You go into a store, and they're all on their hands and knees worshiping, chanting to this false god. And you could just loot the store if you wanted to, and nobody'd even know it. And it doesn't even look like anybody'd care. I'm not instructing anybody to do that, because that's against the law of the Lord to steal. But, I mean, it's just amazing how they just don't even care. That's how sold out they are to that God, and the same thing with the Buddhists. And so God has to wake them up, and so he, probably over 500,000 people are dead over there in Indonesia, and in Africa there's 3.9 million of them killed in the war. In what part? Congo. Where?
Congo.
In the Congo. You don't even hear about it. And there are people by the millions being killed all over the world, but the news media doesn't say anything about it because the Pope has instructed them not to do so, and the people around the Pope, because they only want you to hear certain things. But people from the Congo that have been there just got on the telephone. They didn't expect that to happen when they were allowing the people to comment about the things that were going on over in Indonesia. And they opened the lines to say, if you have loved ones over here, call up. If you're looking for them, and tell us give us the description, everything, we'll try to find them for you. So while somebody was on the line, they say, man, we just come from the Congo. There's 900,000 of them killed over there, and you people are making mention of just this 150,000 or whatever it was at that time, saying not one peep is mentioned on the international news media about these 9 million people killed over in the Congo. So what's with you people? How come all you're paying attention to is these Muslims and Buddhists over there? What about the Muslims over in Africa? in the Congo over there, and some of the born-again Christians that are there killing over there. Okay, so, you know, people feel that they really know what's going on in the world, but you don't even know one fraction of what's happening. I don't know one fraction, just maybe a small fraction of what's going on, other than what the Lord is telling me, and the things that I find out from shortwave radio broadcasters and people like that, and things that accidentally slip onto the media that they are really upset about slipping through. Okay, so then what?
Verse 9. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed.
See, so the Lord allows that to happen. Many hundreds of people, thousands of people are killed in these wars when people turned away from the Lord. All their things were taken away from them. They were put out on the streets. Their children were hungry, and their children were battered to pieces, destroyed, and people just don't take it to heart. They just figure it can't happen to me. But it does happen to people. You know, even people, especially people that are Christians and people of the Lord, because the Bible says that judgment begins first at the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And God really hates a person, people, that know who he is and then they don't do what he says. They know what the word says and they don't do what the word says. So if there's something happening in your life, you're asking the question, you examine yourself with the word of God and see what you're doing wrong, because you're doing something wrong. You're thinking something wrong, or you're doing something wrong, and or you're not serving the Lord with all your heart, the whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's for sure. That's for sure, because God promises 100% immunity from all that sort of thing if you're really serving him. And you may think that you're in a church where maybe the leaders are serving the Lord 100%, and therefore you think you're safe from any of these plagues by just kicking back, relaxing, and doing your own thing. Wrong. You're absolutely wrong. The Lord knows how to separate people out of the congregation. Look at the lives of Sapphira, Ananias and Sapphira in the Bible, in the book of Acts, and see if God isn't able to weed people out that are right in the biggest revival, the first and biggest revival, right there in the New Testament. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, then what?
Verse 10.
That's where the church began. Was when the Spirit entered into all the human beings there. And there really wasn't any church until the book of Acts. All right, then what?
And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam.
Right, so they finally admitted that they sinned, and that's why they were getting all this these problems. They're getting destroyed and treated like they're trash.
Translation, verse 1 through 10. Tola becomes Israel's judge. After Abimelech's death, Tola, the son of Pua, a descendant of Dodo, came to rescue Israel. He was from the tribe of Issachar, but lived in the town of Shamir in the hill country of Ephraim. Verse 2. He was Israel's judge for 23 years. When he died, he was buried in Shamir. Jair was a judge of Israel. Verse 3. After Tola died, a man from Gilead named Jair judged Israel for 22 years. Verse 4. His 30 sons rode around on 30 donkeys, and they owned 30 towns in the land of Gilead, which are still called the towns of Jair. Verse 5. When Jair died, he was buried in Canaan. The Amorites, how they oppressed Israel. Verse 6. Again the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. They worshipped images of Baal and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Aram, Sidon, Moab, Ammon, and Philistia. Not only this, but they abandoned the Lord and no longer served him at all. Verse 7.
Yeah, and if people are not winning souls, or they're not making sure that literature is shipped to the different distributors of our literature, and if they're not distributing the literature themselves on the streets, or at least backing up the ones that are distributing the literature on the streets, or at least reminding them and pushing them to get out on the streets, or giving them, doling out the literature to go out on the streets, if they're not pushing people to make sure that there's enough literature, if they're not informing me that they've run out of literature, then you're forgetting God, okay? And you're forgetting the instructions that the Lord gave me. He said, I'll give you the ability to write if you if you get the literature on the streets and get it out, you will not be destroyed. But if you don't, you will be destroyed. And I reckon over a period of time, people forget that. And that message needs to be as vibrant in your brain and in your spirit today as it was on the day that it was given, because we have been immune for a few years here now from any destruction whatsoever. As a matter of fact, we've been able to multiply and grow, and we're growing more and more. So make sure that you don't forget God, because he surely will tear you to pieces. All right, then what?
Verse 7.
Because God cannot lie. If he uttered these things, you better believe it. All right, then what?
So
you may think that you're something special, but you turn your back on God and you're nothing. You're the biggest nothing going. Because it's impossible for you, if you forget about the things that God has told us and the experiences that you've seen happen in this church for people turning their back on God and thinking that it's some kind of a vacation place. You're the biggest nothing that ever breathed a breath, and God will put you in a box. Just like he did those Indonesians just the other day. Those Africans, those people from India, and all those other little islands all up and down that large coastal area. Okay, let's go.
So the Lord burned with anger against Israel, and he handed them over to the Philistines and the Amorites. Verse 8, who began to oppress them that year. For 18 years they oppressed all the Israelites east of the Jordan River in the land of the Amorites. Bracket that is in Gilead and bracket. Verse 9, the Ammonites also crossed to the west side of the Jordan and attacked Judah, Benjamin, and Ephraim. The Israelites were in great distress. Verse 10, finally they cried out to the Lord, saying, quote, we have sinned against you, because we have abandoned you as our God and have served the images of Baal.
Right, divinely wise, that it goes to show how stupid people are, and even the chosen people of God. There's a doctor that I was talking to in Los Angeles, and he's Jewish, and he said, I told him, you know, that a Chinese, I said, I went to Mount Sinai Hospital, and I had a rupture years ago, and to get it fixed, and I says, there wasn't even one Jewish doctor in there, and he says, because Mount Sinai is supposed to be a Jewish hospital in Los Angeles, and it really is. I said, it was all Chinese guys in there that were operating. I says, and he, that was, I found out after I was operated on that it was the Chinaman that worked on me. And he says, yeah, they're the best doctors. He says, they're the smartest when it comes to medicine, the Chinese people. I says, what? Smarter than us Jews? He says, well, us Jews, we're more cunning than any other people on the face of the earth. But when it comes to medicine, the Chinese seem to, and the country surgery and things like, they really know more. And that was, and this is one of the top doctors in Beverly Hills that I was, that was telling me this. I said, man, that's really, you know, I thought that it was not that way. That it was, he said, yeah, the Chinese are the best in medicine and in surgery. I said, well, then I got a pretty good deal then. because I thought us Jews were the smartest people on the face of this earth. But when we read the Bible, we can see that really we're not. You know? All the prophets were Jews. There's a few of us that are something, but on the other hand, there's some Gentile blood in me. When I was a kid, I realized that the Gentile part of my family, I noticed the difference between them and my dad. And I noticed that they were very stupid. They were Swedes, Germans, a little bit of German, a little bit of Norwegian, and they were exceedingly stupid, I noticed. And they were all the same way, because their brains only go so far, and they just can't go any further than that. And I have brothers in my family that take after the Gentile side, and they tell my brother, his friends say, your brother is a Jew above the waist and you're a Jew below the waist. Of course, Gentiles won't understand what that means, but and I can't really say what that means at this point, but that's the way it really is. They've been broke all their life. For instance, I have an uncle that he's very bright. Some Gentiles are bright, but when it comes to business, he designed the first atomic sub, the Nautilus sub, Gordon, my Uncle Gordon. And then he designed the Polaris sub, and he was with the Navy, and he didn't get a penny for it. You know? Now me, I'm not that way. You know, if I'm going to come up with something like that, the Navy's going to have to pay through the nose, or else I'll go to the Russian Navy or, you know, over to some other country and tell them, look, I know how to put the atomic sub together, and, what's the deal here? You know, you want something or not, man, you know. Let's put our cards on the table. America, I'll give you the first option, all right? If you want it, well, you know, let's talk some turkey here. We got to come up with it, but not Gordon. Gordon, you know, just, well, what about patriotism? If the country is not America, the American government anymore, but is Roman canon law, I'm not patriotic to that, okay? I'm not into going out and just killing people so that the Vatican can take over the world, okay? And so, like, if I'm going to do something, it's not going to be for patriotism. If it was American government, I'm the most patriotic person on the face of this earth. But if it's for a Rome, forget it. Come up with the loot. Okay, or else. All right? Do you understand?
Yes.
That's the kind of a person I am. So I take after the Jewish side of my family. And Gordy and Danny will admit it. My brother Danny will admit it. Carl, Gordon, Leo, and the others. Carl, Clayton, Leo, and Gordon. Now, Clayton, I told he was one of the best sculptors in the whole world before I was saved. Just when I was a kid, I said, look, he would do, you could give him a bar of soap and he would carve an image of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and it looked just like them, you know, out of soap. And he'd do it just in a few minutes. I said, look, let's make molds of those things and let's go to a manufacturing plant and have them crank them out and get them colored and everything, colored up nice, made out of plaster or whatever. And we'll sell them, you know, in all the dime stores and everything, because the dime stores were a big deal back then. Woolworth, Kresge's, and all those places, which you don't see much of them anymore. And he says, you're not going to prostitute my talent. I says, uh-oh, I'm dealing with a dum-dum, you know. And the guy was broke all of his life. You know what I'm saying? Okay, and Carl, he was a lumberjack. You know, he worked out in the woods, the North Woods, you know, and ate onion sandwiches and fish. You know? And then Leo was a radio announcer, and Danny too. Okay, so, you know, figure 2 and 2 is 4. And my dad, I've made more money than all of them before I got saved. I made more money than all of them put together by thousands of times. And then they stole from my dad. He owned a hotel, and he gave them jobs, some of these people. I was just a little kid, and my brother Danny's younger than I am, by about 18 months or something like that. And my brother Ricky the same way. My brother Ricky is a works at a book manufacturing company as a stock boy, and he's 50-some years old now. Real bright. Huh? I mean, let's face it, right? There's difference between Jew and Gentile. Amen?
Amen.
There's not a one of them that has done anything. And my mother made fudge and popcorn. And read little fairy tales to me and stuff when I was a kid. But I'm not knocking at you. That's just the way people are, though. All right? But here's these bright boys, you know, that are Jews, and they're out worshiping Baal and all these other supposed to be gods that are not gods at all. And they know, they could see what happened to the whole world when God drowned it. And here's all these Gentiles today preaching the gospel and saying God is all love, when they can plainly read in his word that he's destroyed the entire earth with water, amen?
Amen.
Except for 8 souls. And then they see that he's going to come back and burn the earth and send everybody to hell, but they just don't believe that. They would rather, you know, still they're on their knees over there in Indonesia and right here in this country and even in Israel, and they're worshiping Buddha and Muhammad and every kind of god that's not a god, like Mohaji Baba. You know, that's one I just made up, you know, for Mohaji Baba or Ali Baba or whatever. Just anybody, Santa Claus, the bunny, anything other than God. And they think they're bright, okay? Because they made television. The guy that made television is probably like my Uncle Gordon, didn't get much for it. Maybe they gave him a tract house or something. A few people in the street, you even know what a tract house is. Really, I don't give people much credit for sense, okay? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how stupid you really are, but if you'll believe in him, then you're going to be smart. Amen?
Amen.
Whether you're a Gentile, a Jew, or what. Because that's the only smarts there is in this world, really. All right? Because everything is not money, that's for sure. I found out that money is nothing. That's why I never sold my Beatles album, which is worth between $50 and $100 million down through these years, because I want Ed to know for sure that it's God supporting me instead of me supporting me or anybody else, all right? You can't offer me any money to leave the Lord. There is enough money in this world or enough riches or anything in this world to make me want to leave the Lord. I haven't regretted one second of it since I've been saved. Okay, onward, Christian soldiers.
King James Version, verse 11. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites?
Yes, Lord, you did deliver us from the Egyptians and the Amorites, our forefathers. And then what else?
From the children of Ammon.
How could anybody want to be away from a God that has rescued them, saved them, and supports them? I mean, you have to be the stupidest Gentiles on the face of the earth. And to think that you've arrived and that you can kick back when God plainly tells you that you can't. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And from the Philistines, verse 12, the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites. And
all these people that God has delivered the people from, the Jews, the chosen people of God, then what?
And the Maonites.
I actually think that the Jews are more stupid than the Gentiles, amen?
Amen.
They're about equal. All right, then what? A real Jew is one that believes in God, so, you know, they just turn into not Jews. They turn into Gentiles. Trash, Gentile trash. Okay, what else? Because if God's going to see, he says they're chaff, what difference is there from chaff, chaff to trash. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to be... if you become a Christian, whether you're a Gentile or what, you become a spiritual Jew. And you're no longer trash. Because if you're on your way to hell, into the fire, then you're nothing more than trash. Okay, then what else?
And the Maonites did oppress you, and ye cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Verse 13. Yet ye have forsaken me, and served other gods. Wherefore, I will deliver you no more.
Wow, that's a horrible thing to hear God say something like that to you. I'm not going to deliver you anymore. Okay, then what?
Verse 14. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation.
Yeah, Gordy, go to the U.S. Navy for money. My Uncle Gordon had designed the two atomic subs. Get that some money. They didn't give him a penny. That's the thanks they gave him. But if he went to the Lord, which he went to one of our services out in Los Angeles and got saved. And so, praise the Lord. He's in heaven now, and Carl got saved. And Clayton, we led him to the Lord, and he got saved. And Leo finally got saved on his deathbed. Okay, so all those Gentiles turned into spiritual Jews, and they're in heaven. And my mother, bless her little fudge-beating heart, she's in heaven for sure. The Lord told me personally. Okay, then what?
Verse 15. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. Verse 16, And they put away the strange gods from among them, and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Verse 17, Then the children of Ammon were gathered together, and encamped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled themselves together, and encamped in Mizpah. Verse 18, And the people and princes of Gilead said one to another, What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Translation, verse 11 through 18. The Lord replied, quote, Did I not rescue you from the Egyptians, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Philistines? Verse 12. The Zidonians, the Amalekites, and the Moabites? When they oppressed you, you cried out to me, and I rescued you. Verse 13. Yet you have abandoned me and served other gods, so I will not rescue you any more. Verse 14. Go and cry out to the gods you have chosen! Exclamation mark. Let them rescue you in your hour of distress! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 15. But the Israelites pleaded with the Lord and said, quote, We have sinned. Punish us as you will, as you see fit. Only rescue us today from our enemies. Unquote. Verse 16. Then the Israelites put aside their foreign gods and served the Lord, and he was grieved by their misery. Verse 17. And at that time the armies of Ammon had gathered for war and were camped in Gilead, preparing to attack Israel's army at Mizpah. Verse 18. The leaders of Gilead said to each other, quote, Whoever attacks the Ammonites first will become ruler over all the people of Gilead. Unquote.
Okay, that was the 18 verses of chapter 10, Judges. And now I've got some commentary.
10 verse 1 through 5. In five verses, we read about two men who judged Israel for a total of 45 years. Yet all we know about them, besides the length of their rule, is that one had 30 sons who rode around on 30 donkeys. What are you doing for God that is worth noting or remembering?
Yeah, have you got anything that would be noteworthy in the Bible of what you've done? You collect some food or something? Would that be in the Bible? Or got some donos, or you pick your nose, or squeeze some zits. or wash some dishes or something, or had some bad breath and maybe scared some enemies away. Okay, go ahead.
When your life is over, will people remember more than just what is in your bank account or the number of years you lived? 10 verse 6. Baal and Ashtaroth are explained in the notes on chapter 2 verses 11 through 15, which I've already written, and chapter 3 verse 7. The gods of Aram and Zidon are very similar. The gods of Moab and Ammon were Chemosh and Molech. The Philistine gods were Dagon, Ashtaroth, Asherah, and Beelzebub. Chapter 10, verse 9 through 10. Once again, the Israelites suffered for many years before they decided to give up their sinful ways and call out to God for help. See chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Notice that when the Israelites were at the end of their rope, they did not look to their pagan gods for help, but to the only one who was really able to help. That's the one and only living God. Is God your last resort? So much unnecessary
God
suffering.
God should be our first resort. Then you don't have to worry about the last resort. Amen.
Amen.
He is the first and the last. Amen.
Amen.
We don't have to suffer at all. Just make God number one and seek His refuge. He is our refuge at all times. Amen. Unless you go too far. Then what?
So much unnecessary suffering takes place because people don't call on God until they've used up all the other resources or futile attempts. Rather than waiting until your situation becomes desperate, why don't you turn to God first? He has the complete necessary resources to meet every kind of need and is able to solve every problem. 10 verse 11 through 16. These verses show how difficult it can be to follow God over the long haul. The Israelites always seemed to forget God when all was well. But despite being rejected...
What I meant to say there must be a typo, or I didn't put it, is to follow any false god. That says the hard way to go. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? Go ahead.
But despite being rejected by his own people, God never failed to rescue them when they called out to him in repentance. God never fails to rescue them, but now we have the power of God in us. Some people fail to call upon him because they feel that maybe the sin they've sinned is not a sin of ignorance, that they knew what they were doing. It's still best for you to call on him just in case, because where else can we go? He alone has the words of life, and he alone has the power to forgive. Some people act just like the Israelites when they put God outside their daily events instead of at the actual helm, the center of all of our events. Just as a loving parent feels rejected when a child rebels, God is not a man, but he has the same feelings that humans do. But God knows when you are rejecting him, and he is sitting in the driver's seat and is able to ignore you when you need help. The Lord says he'll laugh at you and mock at you.
And your calamity, when your calamity comes, if you go too far, when you're going to hell, when your soul, your spirit in your body is going down into the lake of fire, then what?
In regard to neglecting the Lord, you can read 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4 through 9, chapter 10, verse 17 through 19. John chapter 12 verse 44 through 50. We must strive and make it our will to stay close to God rather than to see how far away from him we can go before the axe falls, before judgment comes. 10 verse 17 through 18. The power of the Ammonite nation was at its peak during the period of the judges. The people were descendants of Ammon, conceived when Lot's daughter slept with her drunken father, Genesis 19, verse 30-38.
Her drunken father, Lot. Okay, then what?
The land of Ammon was located just east of the Jordan River, across from Jerusalem. South of Ammon lay the land of Moab, the nation conceived when Lot's other daughter slept with the same drunken father, Lot. Moab and Ammon were usually allies. It was a formidable task to defeat these nations.
Well, praise the Lord, that was chapter 10 of Judges, the 18 verses in commentary. And the lesson that our spirit was to receive, among many of the lessons in this chapter, is don't forget God. Continue on a day-to-day basis with Him one day at a time. Stay in the Spirit, because those that continue in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus on a day-to-day basis, till the day they die, those are the ones that will be saved. And those that don't will not be saved. Thus saith the Lord. And this is the New Testament. So God loves us, but he doesn't want us to fall. And if he knows that we know that, and so if we deliberately do that ourselves, we send our own souls to hell and into the lake of fire. So meditate on these things day and night, and serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength in Jesus' name. And then this day, this lesson that you received from chapter 10 in Judges will have made a difference in your life. We have to read enough of the scriptures and apply them, make application of them in our lives, and for us to be able to stand one day at a time to the end. If we don't apply the Bible or use the Bible as an ointment, an application of ointment on our spirits and in our spirits, then the reading of the Bible is of no avail whatsoever, and we will fall away. So Bible application, the Word of God applied to our spirit, is the food, the drink, and the ointment that we need to stand. So constantly renew your spirit daily. We need the Spirit to baptize our spirits daily, to keep us strong in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. Till chapter 11, God bless you and praise the Lord.